Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
The essence of this panel is on making the complex comprehensible. So the idea is that simplicity is good, but in the service of comprehension. And textbook and professional writing is replete with overly complex descriptions and explanations. And before I get into this, I just realized I'm supposed to introduce myself. I was told I forgot already. I'm Michael Spiegler, and I'm from Providence College. And do I have to put down my nursery school that I went to? I'm supposed to give a whole background. And what I'm going to do is sort of introduce the topic of simplicity. And then the other panelists will be a little more specific in what they do. So probably you know from reading both textbooks and other writing that things are often much more complex than they might be. Let me just give you an example to start off with. You don't have to read the whole thing, but I would appreciate if someone would tell me what that says. Now, I didn't make this up just to prove it. This is the abstract of an article in a journal that I read regularly on behavioral assessment. I have no idea what this is about. And I've shown it to some statistician friends and colleagues. They have no idea what it's about either. But clearly, it's very important, and you know, because it's so complex. In psychology, and that's I'm a psychologist, I teach psychology, and in many fields, statistics is the course that everybody fears, and you get the professor who gets up and puts all these things on the board, and no one understands what's going on, but that professor's a genius because of the complexity. So maybe we should think, you know, the complexity might be good. So why is complexity often favored over simplicity? Well, I think there are two reasons. That I think that if people don't understand you, if you write in a way where it's incomprehensible, that seems to be a sign of erudition. And I know certainly students view it that way. Consider this redone Peanuts cartoon. Peppermint Patty asked Franklin, what are you reading? A book about psychology. From what I can understand of it, it seems good. Forget it, Franklin. No book on psychology can be any good if one can understand it. And a recent poll, 63% of Americans 50 years or older, I have nobody that I know is that way, but they believe that things like financial statements that we get, that they are purposely put into complicated language so that we can't understand them. Now, a second reason that I think that this the complexity occurs is that fuzzy language, fuzzy writing, stems from fuzzy thinking. If you can't explain something simply, if you get someone who says, oh, very complex ideas, and they can't explain it simply to you, that person does not really understand it. So how do we make things simple? Well, here are a few tips. The bottom line, I think, and we're talking here about textbook writing primarily, is to write for the reader. As an author, you need to think as your reader thinks. What is your reader going to understand given your reader's level, given your reader's background? Not what you're going to understand and not what your colleagues are going to understand. Write simply. The Bible here, as far as I'm concerned, is a book that was written, about almost a century ago. Strunk and White's Elements of Style. Well, it started with Strunk and then E.B. White came in. And this is such a wonderful book. It's like about 115, 120 pages. It's a little book like this, big print. And besides it giving you all sorts of tips for writing simply, it's a model of simplicity when you go into it. So you need to write in simpler terms. Let me give you an example of that. Here's a fairly simple sentence. 10 words. No, nothing complex about this. But here's the same thing. And it's in 4 words, and it's a lot simpler. Albert Einstein was a pretty smart guy, and he worked with very complex ideas, I'm told. And he said that, you know, everything should be made as simple, but no simpler. So that reminded me that given the energy crunch that we're into and how much electricity is involved in like lighting up signs, for example, there was someone who had a sign up over store that said, "Fresh fish for sale here." And he was complaining about how much energy it took to light this sign up. So someone said to him, "You don't need to use all of that. All you need is fresh fish for sale. Obviously, it's here. You're not having the sign up and then it's 10 blocks away." And then the person thought, "Well, actually, you don't need, you have the other thing, because what are you doing? Giving it away? So you could just have fresh fish." And come to think of it, all you need is fish. What, are you going to sell stale fish? And you know what? You can smell this place 2 blocks off. You don't need to use any electricity. Now, sometimes when we go to simplify, we make it more complex. A good example of that is when we use abbreviations. So we give abbreviations for something, and then we use them throughout. So here's just an example from a page, and you don't have to really read this, but these letters are the yellowed ones. There are 5 different abbreviations used on this page, but they're used more than once, some of them. There really are a total of 11 sitting up there. But just look at the number of things that are colored in there. That's in one page. And these were defined back on page 1, but now we're on page 175. And are you going to remember these? But another way to do it has to do with acronyms. Now, those are abbreviations also, but an acronym needs to be readable, among other things, like SCUBA. Now, you may not know exactly what those letters stand for, but you're going to remember the concept, and that's an easy word to say. Here's a interesting one. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce this. This is used to explain some general concepts in reality therapy. Here's what it stands for. Simple, attainable, measurable, immediate, controlled by the planner, committed to, consistently implemented. I can't pronounce that thing. Am I going to? I think it's like Samak cubed, but you know, it's really Samak with three C's. So this is an attempt to simplify, but it just does the opposite. Another thing is to give the reader only what he or she needs. I remember when my daughter Heather came to me one day and she said she was like four or something, and she says, "Daddy, where did I come from?" Oh no, 4 years old. Okay, so we sit down and, you know, when a man and a woman love each other, and I start this off and I'm going through this whole long thing and bringing in my biology and everything. And when I finish, she looks at me quizzically and says, you know, "Nigel comes from one socket. Where do I come from?" Give the reader what they need. So making it simple is, you know, is something that we really need to do. Let me give you one last tip, and that is to use pedagogy to make it simple. Here are just two examples. One is repetition. If something is important enough for people to learn, we know that in the classroom we'll repeat things, although often in the classroom we feel a little bit funny about doing that. And when we write in textbooks, you see all the time, "as was said previously," and I don't think you should be apologetic about that. No, not continually repeat things. But there's something called planned redundancy. It should be out there, and that is one of the things that can take something complex, and the repetition will simplify it. Another thing is to use active learning. When learners they teach themselves, they learn it better. And just the other day, on a text that I'm working on, I thought, well, here's a concept that students have trouble with all the time, so I'm going to make a little diagram, a 2x2 matrix, box thing, and fill this in for them, and they'll look at that, and it'll be clear. Then I realized it would be better if they filled in the boxes. So I have the outline of it, and then there's a simple thing to put, you know, a couple of words in each one, and I believe that by doing that, that will simplify it for them. So what we want to do is make it simple to make it comprehensive. It's not easy. One of the things that involved, we talked about Strunk and Weick and making it simpler. I once got a review of a book to be revised, the old edition, and it said, you need to lower the level of the language. Now, I love to write long, complex sentences. That's fun. But that doesn't work. And how do you lower the level of the language? Well, it's simply that you cut down the number of syllables per word and the number of words per sentence. That's the basic formula. And at first, I really balked at this. But you know, if you do it, it's better writing. And I'll just leave you with one other quote, which I think is worth keeping in mind.
Hi there. I'm Karen Morris. I'm from Rochester, New York. I teach in the law field. And I'm going to do this presentation, and I hope it's not too simple. But this is what comes to my mind when I think about presenting on the topic of simplicity. There is a green sheet. You have handouts actually from all of us, so you might be a little overwhelmed. Mine is the green sheet, green chosen since we are in Vegas, and money in Vegas is a big deal. So, I call it kiss versus kiss of death. Kiss is if it's simple, and kiss of death is what will happen to your book if it's not simple. You may not get past the editor, it may not sell, If it does, your students will be frustrated. So we want to keep it simple. These are steps to simplify the presentation of a concept in a textbook. The first is, and Paul touched on it also, that by reference fuzzy thinking, you must know the concept you're teaching fully. Sometimes when I'm writing a chapter, there's part of the material I come upon that I need to write on, and it's new to me. Put the writing aside, go to the research material, learn it, and only then sit down to write it. Because if you don't know it well, it's like you can't teach it well, and of course you can't write it well. Paul also mentioned know your audience. This is critical. What is it that you're writing? We all write textbooks. We're encouraged to take our content and try and make it into a mass media book. Those are different audiences. I also write treatise. One of my books is a treatise for lawyers. That's a very different audience than the mass market audience is and that my textbook audience is. So now you want to identify who your audience is. And you got to parse it pretty exactly. What is the course level? Is it a 100 level course or is it a 400 level course? And that alone's not enough. Is it 100 or is it 200? And the levels are going to be different depending on that. What is the student level? Is it a two-year level you're writing for, a four-year level? Are you writing for AS degree? Well, I teach at a two-year school, so am I writing for AS degree students who are those who are going to then go on to a four-year school, or is it an AAS degree? One of my books is Hotel Law. The level I've chosen to write at is for the AAS degree folks, those who are only there for 2 years. They plan to get their degree and go into the market. It's a different level, and my textbook in hotel and restaurant law is quite different than one geared to four-year students. So you want to know the level of your student. Assess what, if anything, your audience knows about the concept. You want to be clear and instructive and simple, but you don't want to be insulting. And again, I hope with what I'm giving you today, I'm not being insulting, because it does seem simple. And if you want to address or you have some question about whether your audience knows something that you're referencing, but you think it's too simple and too elementary for much of your audience, you can always add it in an index or in a footnote. So finding the right balance so as not to be insulting but yet to be clear and simple is not always easy and needs some thought. I think with many concepts, particularly in law, there are layers to the understanding. And you have to piece apart those layers and present the material in layers. So, for example, if I'm writing about interference with contractual relations, it happens in the layout of the course, torts come before the study of contracts. One of the important business torts in a business law course is interference with contractual relations. Well, before I can talk about the tort, I have to do a little discussion about contracts. That's the layering. Understand contracts a little so that you can understand the tort. Otherwise, the tort will be totally lost. Another is employment discrimination. Well, what exactly is discrimination? And against whom is it outlawed? The protected classes, race, religion, color, national origin, disability, etc. Those are layers that have to be peeled off and presented before the concept of employment discrimination can be understood by the audience. So that layering is important. And then provide learning exercises before moving on to the next layer to help simplify for the audience and to drive the point home for your reader before moving on to the more complex. Use diagrams and charts to underscore the connection between the various layers. Next, equate the concept to something your audience knows. Give examples. This morning on Good Morning America, we learned that Britney Spears' sister, who had her baby, you may remember when she was announced to be pregnant, she was a big Disney actress. She was adored by many of the younger set, young teens, and she turns up pregnant. Not the role model that Disney or many parents want to present. But today she had her baby, so if I was doing a class today, I would discuss that and talk about statutory rape. She's, I believe, 16 or 15, and statutory rape, though, is, of course, intercourse with somebody who's under the legal age. In half the states, it's 16, and in another half of the states, it's 17. So there's a great lesson about statutory rape that students will understand. So give examples and hypotheticals that are relevant to their lives. Include various learning exercises. Edit the text repeatedly. This is another way to check your writing to make sure that it is simplified. Write it. Put it aside. Go back maybe the next day. Then put it aside and go back in a week. It looks very different several days or a week down the road than it looks the night you wrote it and the day after you wrote it. So you look at it with a fresh eye and be able to simplify the reading and the presentation. Use online supplements. Expand the text, add examples, use up-to-the-minute news. We heard a lot about what we can do online to expand the audience for our books and enhance the material that we provide. A lot of extra work for the author. I think that's a separate issue that ought to be addressed. Where does that time come from? It's clearly online can go a long way to expanding further on what we put in the textbooks. So those are some thoughts on the actual writing of the textbook. I also think that there are some issues about simplifying the process of writing. So I'm going to spend the few minutes I have left on that. For many of us, writing textbooks is not the primary pursuit of our work lives. For many of us, it's a teaching, it's something else, and the writing is a second or a third pursuit. So making it simple is important. Organize your workspace. Desk, great if you can have a separate desk for your writing. That's like the ultimate. Research material. Do not be a spendthrift on research material. This is not the place to save money. You are presenting yourself as someone who knows your field. The field changes. You need to always keep up. Do not think twice about spending money on whatever you need for research. Music. I love having music in the background. I do not think twice about buying whatever CDs I want so that I'm comfortable when I'm writing. Motivation material. This also helps me. I'm doing a book on lessons in law from Harry Potter's adventures. That desk has pictures all around of Harry and Ron and Hermione. It's got witches' hats. It's got stuffed animals of wizards and the three-headed dragon. That helps me. Set your environment. Outline the book, outline each chapter, budget your time, and comply with that. We heard that today. Boy, that's critical. So then you don't have the stresses. If you stick with your budgeting, be realistic when you plan ahead how much time you're going to invest and where you're going to get that time so that you can indeed take that time for the writing, and then you don't have the stresses. Let me just look at, I probably have little time left. Solidify your relationship with your publisher. We heard this today too, and I've had numerous publishers. The best relations are where I have a one-on-one, where I know the person on the other side. I'll travel to meet the person. I don't want to be a name. I want to be a face. I want to be a personality that whoever I'm dealing with knows and thinks about when issues come up. don't promise what you can't deliver, obviously. Clarify allocation of assignments with co-authors. I have had six different co-authors. We're going to hear from Steve Gillen tomorrow about co-authors. Go hear him if you have co-authors, and be real clear. If you're not, everything gets complicated. The process of writing and achieving what you want gets complicated. Finally, and this is critical, organizing other components of your life so during writing time the book has your full attention and your mind is uncluttered. If you're thinking about all the other things that you're not getting done because you're writing, you're not going to write well and you're not going to write simply. And so it's, again, the budgeting of time. And when you budget, don't overlook activities that make you happy, the things you like to do. That's important so that you're in a comfortable frame of mind when you write. And discuss ahead with your significant other. Writing, of course, takes time. And that's time that you're going to steal from a lot of different places, including your significant other. So make sure he or she is on board. So those are some thoughts. I hope they're helpful. Thanks.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.